Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking, I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to New Books in Jewish Studies. I'm Jason Shulman. We've got a great show for you today. My guest is Peter Travny, a professor of philosophy at the University of Wuppertal in Germany. Here to talk about his new book, Heidegger and the Myth of a Jewish World Conspiracy, published in 2015 by the University of Chicago Press. Peter, welcome to New Books in Jewish Studies.
Welcome.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. So, Peter, you're one of the experts in the world on Martin Heidegger. Maybe you could tell us very briefly, who was Martin Heidegger?
Well, Martin Heidegger was a German philosopher, probably one of the most important philosophers of Europe, maybe of the world in the 20th century. He was born at the end of the 19th century in a very, very small town in the south of Germany. And he, well, is probably very famous also because he was he engaged himself into National Socialism in 1933 and was then seen or interpreted as a philosopher of this time, so that after the war he was kind of a persona non grata in the intellectuals' circles of Germany. But after this, he had a great comeback, especially in France. French philosophy is dependent on Heideggerian philosophy, so that even if he was engaging himself into National Socialism, he is seen as one of the greatest philosophers of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm. And maybe you can tell us, what are the Black Notebooks?
Well, the Black Notebooks a special manuscript, kind of a diary. He began at the beginning of the 30s and finished them at the end of the 60s. So we have a manuscript written in the time of 40 years. The notes there are not private. They are no notes about his life, like in a real diary. It's a philosophical manuscript, so it's a philosophical diary, you could say. But we didn't know them until they were published at the beginning, 2 years before. And we saw that these manuscripts we can see in these manuscripts a very important part of this thinking we didn't know before.
So we knew he was involved with National Socialism or Nazism, right? But we didn't know the extent of his anti-Semitism. Is that right?
Yeah, we knew from letters, of course, from private letters. We knew that he was an anti-Semite. In a unfortunately very very normal way for German in this time. He was a professor. You know that there was a kind of an academic anti-Semitism, and he was a represented this kind of of anti-Semitism, but we didn't know that he had a certain philosophical interest in anti-Semitism, that he used his anti-Semitism for philosophical ideas, or to say it differently, that he philosophized about or with anti-Semitic ideas.
Mm-hmm. So why does it matter? I mean, does this change the way we think about Heidegger, sort of as a philosopher?
Well, of course, in at least in Europe or in Germany, anti-Semitism is still something what is very important for a, how can we say that, for an intellectual profile of a person. If we can really say that somebody is representing anti-Semitic ideas, we wouldn't see him as a philosopher. We wouldn't accept him as an important voice of philosophy. So in this respect, it's very important that we now have this problem. That there are anti-Semitic passages in the Black Notebooks.
You've spent years studying Heidegger. Do these revelations or these ideas, have they affected the way you think about him?
Well, of course, because I, if I'm honest, I didn't expect this kind of anti-Semitism. I didn't expect that Heidegger. Used his anti-Semitic anti-Semitism in a philosophical context. Of course, it was problematic before to see that Heidegger as a person had anti-Semitic feelings. But it's different for a philosopher to see that suddenly this person began to think about, for instance, world Judaism in quite terrible dimensions. So yes, my access to Heidegger's philosophy changed.
And does it sort of invalidate, sort of his other projects, or should we sort of compartmentalize his thought and his life?
No, I guess that's not possible for a philosopher. I don't think that we can make a difference between the biography of a philosopher and his philosophy. Well, I know that people think differently, but I would see it this way. So we really have to be aware of the fact that there is an anti-Semitic impact in Heidegger's thinking at the end of the 30s and at the beginning of the 40s, and that this impact goes quite deep into this thinking. Now we have really the task to reflect critically every idea of this philosopher, and we have to ask ourselves whether certain thoughts can be influenced by anti-Semitism. So not to say goodbye to this philosopher, we cannot leave him because he is too important, but to be very critically and aware of the problems.
Before we get into sort of the meat of the book, I wanted to ask you, there were Jews who were very important to his life. Does that matter?
Well, the problem is that you know that many anti-Semites had Jewish friends. It's not a problem for an anti-Semite to, for instance, to have a Jewish lover like Hannah Arendt, if you refer to this point. So in this respect, I would say it doesn't matter. So of course he had many Jewish students. He had many Jewish I wouldn't say friends, but in a certain way friends. But this is actually not a. Unfortunately, it's not a problem for an anti-Semite.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's get into the book, which is sort of technical, but hopefully we can, make it accessible. Maybe you could start by telling us what is being historical thinking. Sort of lay out what that is, and what is the place of Jews or world Judaism?
Well, Of course, it's not easy to say that in a few words, but I will try. So, you know that the one and only question of Heidegger's thinking is the question for the meaning of being. What does it mean to be? And from a certain point on in his philosophy, he thought that actually every philosopher of the history of philosophy posed this one question, even if he not expressed this question as such. But every philosopher thought being. So he constructed, or he told a story he called the history of being, beginning with the Greeks, with the early Greeks, and ending in his time with his own thinking. And in this narrative, in this history, in this one could say story he told, he thought that the end of this history was deeply coined by technology. Technology was actually the main phenomenon of the end of this history. The Second World War was nothing else than an event, a technological event, of course, a very destructive event, but nevertheless an event of technology. And in this context of this history, he thought that world Judaism is a kind of an agent or an agency of technology. So the Jews were people who calculated, who stood for modern times, and in this respect, they were like for Heidegger, they were the pioneers of this technology, who had this destructive impact in history. So of course, it's a kind of a stereotype, very well known, Jews as the pioneers of modernity, but he. For him, it was in a certain way very special, because he didn't thought actually that factical Jews, real Jews, were representing this kind of technology. But in another way around, he thought that being a technologist, being for technology, is in itself Jewish. So he told the story that actually every person who calculated, or who were interested in technology, or who worked on the field of his technology, was Jewish. So if we think this to its end, National Socialism was a kind of Judaism. And this is the weird how could I say that? It's the weird part of this thinking.
Yeah, it is very hard to wrap your head around. What did Heidegger make of race, and how did he sort of conceive of it philosophically?
Well, he criticized actually biological race. A biological concept of race was denied. He was really in this point he criticized even the National Socialists, because he thought that that race cannot be a biological concept. And so he was thinking about a known concept of race. You know that take a philosopher like Nietzsche or other conservative philosophers, for instance, like Ernst Jünger. They all these philosophers thought of race not in biological terms. They thought, for instance, in cultural terms or whatever. And Heidegger tried to figure out an own concept of race in difference to the National Socialist one.
Heidegger lived into the 1970s. Did he ever address the Holocaust?
Well, the point is, or the problem is, and this is maybe the most difficult problem we have, that there are at least two two ideas who referred or who are referring to the Holocaust. But these ideas are not speaking about the Holocaust as Holocaust. He never referred to this kind of crime, to this what, how can you say that, to this deep wound in the history of mankind. But he tried to, at least in two passages, he tried to interpret this event. And this interpretation is in itself very, very problematic, because if you take this idea I explained before, that the Jews are the pioneers of technology, and you then interpret the Holocaust as an event of technology, as a destructive event of technology, you can add 1 + 1, and then you have the point that the Jews organized the end of themselves in the Holocaust. And this is exactly what one passage of the Black Notebooks is telling us. And this is, of course, the deepest and saddest moment of Heideggerian philosophy.
Just so I'm clear, this is the idea of self-annihilation?
Yeah, that's the idea of self-annihilation of the Jews in the Holocaust. Yeah. Because if technology is a Jewish, or if Jews are the pioneers of technology, and the event of the Holocaust is in itself nothing else than a technological event, well, it's a syllogism. Then the Holocaust is the self-annihilation of technology through the pioneers, or by the pioneers of technology. That means of the Jews. And of course, Heidegger knew that the National Socialists organized the Holocaust, but he like I said before, for him in this respect, the National Socialists were nothing else than Jewish.
So there are some people who sort of are apologists, I guess you would say, for Heidegger. Is there anything that we could find in his unpublished material, maybe in the future, that you think could exonerate him?
No, I guess these anti-Semite aspects of his thinking is disappearing in the Black Notebooks around the beginning of the 50s, and then he is silent. He keeps silent about the Holocaust. He keeps silent about the Jews. There's nothing. I guess we won't find anymore.
So now that we know these sort of horrifying facets of his thought, is there any way to, still value Heidegger as a philosopher?
Well, like I said before, he is in a historical way too important that we cannot ignore Heideggerian thinking, because the continental philosophy of the 20th century, of the second half of the 20th century, is highly influenced by him. And of course, he these philosophers like Sartre, like Derrida, like Merleau-Ponty, or French phenomenologists, he's so important for them that we cannot skip his importance. And he was important not because of his anti-Semitic ideas, because of the strength of his thinking. So in a certain way, we still have the responsibility to deal with these with his thinking, but this responsibility is now of course highly influenced by the responsibility to be aware of these problems I explained before.
Well, Peter, we've taken up a lot of your time, so any parting thoughts you'd like to share, and what are you working on next?
I am working about Adorno. I will write a book about Adorno with the question, what is German because of the political problems we are facing here in Germany about this, this shift to the to the right about this, of course, growing anti-Semitism we have to face and the growing hostility against the refugees. So I was interested in this, or I am interested in this, phenomena, and I want to criticize them with the critical theory of Adorno.
Sounds like a very timely project. Peter, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. The book is Heidegger and the Myth of a Jewish World Conspiracy, published in 2015 by the University of Chicago Press. The author is Peter Trovny. Thanks so much for listening, and catch us next time on New Books in Jewish Studies.